And I want you to just get what God would have you to get here this evening. Psalm 19. And please don't talk, and please keep your Bibles open, and because we're going to be having turning to it. We're going to dig into it a little bit tonight, and labor in it a little bit. I hope it's a blessing to you. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. You believe that? You believe you've got a perfect Bible tonight? Amen. If you don't, you're going to be awful uncomfortable before this service is over. If you don't believe there's a perfect Bible, you're in a bad pew, man, I tell you. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Boy, our generation needs to get that. The commandments of the Lord should mean more to you than gold, money. Amen? Than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. According to that, I ate me a big 2 spoonfuls of honey this morning. I do a lot of times. I do that on Sunday morning, and I'll just get up and eat. So I don't know why I do that, but and that stuff is sweet, man. It's sweet, and the Bible is sweeter than honey. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now you keep your Bibles open there for a few minutes tonight, and I want to preach to you on the subject, the book that has it all. The book that has it all. I travel a lot, and when I travel, I get to look around a lot. And usually, if an airplane's full, you got to sit where they tell you to sit. Now, what I do is I stand around to wait to see if it's going to be full. If it's not, like the last three and one I was on yesterday, a few days ago, I was on two or three different ones, and I looked for an empty spot. One of them had 9 seats across it, 2, and then an aisle, and then 5, and then another aisle, and 2. And there's all kinds of empty seats. So what I do then is I pull the arms up on the things and get me 2 or 3 pillows and just lay down and go to sleep or pray or something. But if it's not that way, you got to sit where they tell you to sit. And I wound up sitting right between these two women one time a few weeks ago, going somewhere, I believe it was when I was going to Texas. And I sat down like this. Man, it's crowded. It's awful. And you're sitting in seats like this. And there was one sitting here, one sitting there. They both were reading. That's the thing. The reason they sell so many books at the airport is because people like to read on an airplane. I kind of peeked over there to see what they was reading. And the one on the right was reading a book called A Christmas Present. About that thick. And the one on the left was reading a book on sociology. And she was a student. She was going through there marking things like that. And I took the book, of course, and laid it down right between them like that. And I noticed that both of them just kind of looked. My book's different than their books. Believe me. My book is the book that has it all. I seen this boy the other day, Thursday, reading one. It was some kind of The Streets of Laredo or something like that. That thick. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. That's about. I'd watch football before I'd read that. And I'll tell you what, brother. He was sitting there reading that thing just like it was really something. Paul Harvey said recently, "We have forgotten that the good ship Earth came with a book of instructions." He said the barbaric bedlam in our streets indicate that we think we can get along without God. This book tonight that I hold in my hand could settle every problem, every national problem, every marriage problem, every problem in this world could be settled by this one book that we've got in our laps tonight. But sadly, we've abandoned the owner's manual, and it is a treasure chest of wealth for the world. So I'm just going to brag on the book tonight. I'm not going to hold back, hold any punches. I'm going to tell you about a book that has it all. If you've got this book, you've got the best book in the world. You don't need another book if you've got this book. It's all right to have other books, but this is the book, brother. If you've got this book, you've got the right book. I want to say, I'll give you a bunch of things tonight. And the first one I want to say, thing I want to say tonight, it is a different book. It's a different book. It's unique. The word Bible literally means book. That's what the word means. Biblos, right? And that word means book. It is the book. Somebody said recently they read the ridiculous undocumented Book of Mormon and went through its tasteless so-called truths there, and like to bore them to death, or the ridiculous findings in the Christian Science movement, or the New Age books. This girl that's sitting on this side of me had that sociology book, and I was just reading about a chapter there about behavior and behavior patterns and behavior abnormal, subnormal, normal behavior patterns, and I thought, good night, man. I'd hate to have to study that stuff. This book here is different. God says study. Know the author. People study this book for years and years and years and never get it all down pat. The reason you know this book is different is because people have studied this book, some of them 40 and 50 years, and still have not unraveled all the mysteries that are in this one book. It's amazing. It is a different book. Proven. People braving the heat in the hillsides of Georgia to go get a glimpse of the Virgin Mary when they think she's going to appear to them. There's all kinds of people go down there. Somewhere down there in Georgia, she's supposed to be appearing. And people stay out in the sun and heat going down there. I thought, well, maybe she'll appear while I'm here. How ridiculous that is when you can just open a book and let God Almighty speak to you. How pitiful it is to wait on a Virgin Mary to appear. Mary would, listen, if Mary did appear, she'd tell you to read your Bible. And brother, if she didn't, she ain't Mary. Amen. That's right. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's what she'd say. And brother, I'll tell you what. Listen, this is a different book. School children are robbed and cheated out of its riches. And man, it is quoted. It has it all. It has it all. It's imitated. It's lied about. It's misquoted. It's misrepresented. It's hated. It's been cut up and thrown in the fire. People pick it up and throw it across the room. People stomp on it. I've seen a picture, a video of recently, the homosexuals, they don't show you this on the news, but when they make a march down a big city like Washington, they take Bibles like this and rip it up and rip the pages out of them and throw it. They don't do that to Shakespeare. They don't do it to Huckleberry Finn. They don't do it to Encyclopedia Britannica or anything like that. There's only one book that's hated that much, and that is the book of all books. I want to say tonight, our church, this church, New Man and Baptist Church, is built by the grace of God on what this old book said. It's been tried and proved in the past. It's built on many a great work of God. There never has been a work of God without this book being the foundation of it. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's a different book. If you don't believe it, take your Bible. Take your Bible anytime you want to. I do this a lot of times. And you go to the steakhouse. When you go to the steakhouse, carry your Bible in with you. Go out here at dinner time. There's insurance men. They got books like this. There's businessmen. They got briefcases. And they got, now I don't carry a white Bible when I go in the steakhouse, but I've just got this one here to show you. And you take this Bible in. Everybody in there's got books. You walk in with that book and watch people. You know, when you're not looking, they'll cut their eyes at it. I put it on that tray, you know, and put it on them little pipes and slide it down through there. And I start sliding it down through there when I'm getting me something to eat. And I say, I want a Coke. Yep, I want the buffet. And I lay that Bible right there. And that girl looks at it, looks at me, looks at it, looks at me like, you don't really look like a person that would have that. You know, like, I can't figure this out. They expect you to be stupid looking or something. They expect you to be, and I might be that. But I'll tell you what, brother, listen. That's a different book, man. That's a different book. One man said he laid his Bible over there like that one night. He said, I believe that thing gets up and walks around at night. He said, it reads my mind. He said, I can't stand to be in the same room with it. You get that thing and start waving. Hey, take that to the next rock concert they're having Charlotte and just stand there with it and hold it up like that. See? You watch the looks you'll get, man. That is a different book. There's no book like this book, brother. I'm proud tonight to own a Bible. We had forefathers bled and died so men, you could have this book. It is a different book. Secondly tonight, let me say this tonight. It is a delicious book. Amen? It is a delicious book. Let's turn to Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, by the way. Psalm 119. Wouldn't you know it that the longest chapter in the Bible is about the Bible? Psalm 119, and of all of its verses, 176 verses is about the Word of God. Stay with me now. Listen now. Psalm 119, and I want to show you a verse of Scripture here in verse number 103. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's a delicious book tonight. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, thy word was found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Thank God it gets sweeter as the days go by. This book's sweet to my soul and taste tonight. If you've ever gone through a valley or a hard time or a problem, I'll tell you what you do. Get up in the middle of the night and turn your lamp on and just open this book and look down. It's just like eating honey, brother. It don't get no sweeter than this. One old preacher got up one night. He said, it keeps getting tweeter. He couldn't talk plain. He said, it keeps getting tweeter and tweeter and tweeter. If it gets any tweeter, it's going to turn into tugger. And boy, I mean, he just bragging on it. I want to say hallelujah. This is the sweetest book on this earth. No other book can comfort you in the dark hours of the night. No other book does it take to the graveside of a dead loved one and read those promises that they're going to get up again and we're going to see them one of these days. Hallelujah! It's a delicious book. Don't be cheated out of reading your Bible, man. Get into it. Get into it. Get into it. Read the book. Read the book. It is a delicious book. Sometime a man asked a preacher, he said, do you have the living Bible? And he said, yes, sir, I sure do. King James Version. Amen. The King James Version is the living Bible. It's alive. It's not that dead paraphrase put out by Kenneth Taylor. It's the living Word of the living God. It's quick and alive and powerful. It is a delicious book. It's milk for the baby. It's meat for the grown man. It's bread for the hungry. It's water when you're thirsty. Brother, no other book. I'd hate to have to do without it, wouldn't you? I've carried this book with me for over 20 years now. I can't imagine life without it. It's the first book I read in the morning. It's the last book I read before I go to sleep at night. It lays above my pillow every night when I go to sleep. And brother, I don't want to read nothing else till I read it. You know why? It's sweet, man. It's a delicious book. I love it tonight. It's delicious. I want to say thirdly tonight, it's a delightful book. It's a delightful book. Psalm 119, I want you to turn to this one, said, I will delight myself also. The longest chapter in the Bible is about the Bible. Is it your counselor? Get your counsel from this book. You want some counsel on your problems? Right here is the way to get it, right here in this book, right here. It's a delightful book. It really is. It's a delightful book. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Listen. Children delight in this book right here. Boy, I remember when Carrie was real little, every night, she used to tell me, she'd lay down and go to sleep, then she'd start covering up and she'd say, Daddy, you gonna tell me a Bible story? And I'd say, no, honey, it's late tonight. She said, Dad, just tell me one. Just one. Now, Chris and Corey do that now. And I make up all kinds of stories. Sometimes I just tell Bible stories, and then I make up some stories and give them a spiritual meaning. I got this one guy called Cotton Candy Bill, and he's this guy named Bill. He's made out of cotton candy. And I got him all over. He's out at McDonald's, and he's on top of the Ferris wheel, and the wind blows him off, and he goes across the street, lands in the parking lot, and somebody comes up and eats a bite of him, and he said, how would you like for somebody to reach him and get a bite off of you? You shouldn't do that. It's rude. And then he finally winds up witnessing to them and a whole bunch of crazy stuff like that. And they enjoy them Cotton Candy Bill stories like that, but sometimes it's just Bible. And she used to lay in the bed like that, and I say, honey, one time in the Bible is a long, 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 long time ago. It's a long time ago in the Bible. And that means it's true because it's in the Bible. And I said, honey, one time there was this big old mean man. Oh, he was so big and mean. And his name was Goliath. And I go up here and I stand up on the side of the bed. And I stand up there and I go, rawr!
Oh, come on out here. Come on, fight me. How dare you come on out here. And he's mean, man. And all the children of the Philistines stand behind him. Her eyes gets about this big around. And I said, all of a sudden, it's all in the army back here in their knees are just like it. And all of a sudden, there's a little boy comes down the hill like that. And he goes, that song? Only a boy named David. I'll tell you what. Here he comes. He said, what's going on here? She's looking like this. And Saul said, this is war. He said, I don't see no war going on. Who's that big smart aleck? And they said, shut up. That's Goliath. If he hears you talking about like that, man, he'll come over here and kill us all. And about that time, Goliath let out a string of cuss words about that long. I mean, he'd been watching MTV so much, all that trash got in him. And brother, he let that stuff run out there. And David said, you better shut your slimy mouth, buddy. They said, shut up, man. He's a giant. He'll kill us all. He said, somebody ought to go over there and knock him in the next week. And they said, but David, we've got to love our enemies. And he said, no, he's the devil. You ain't supposed to love the devil. Somebody go over and slap the fire out of him. He ain't got no right talking about God like it. Hey, we've about carried this lovey-dovey stuff so far that it about makes anybody sick, you know it. Brother, there are some stuff we're supposed to hate. There's some stuff God hates, and there's some stuff we ought to hate. I'm about sick of Christians. Well, we ought to lie. They said, now, David, we're going to take it up at our next meeting, how to have dialogue with the Philistines. And he said, "What, man, you've always been reading the wrong books. Somebody ought to go over and knock the soup out of it." And they said, now, David, we mustn't be violent. We should turn the other cheek. He said, that ain't what that means. And they said, yeah, yes, it is, too. Now, David, you just calm down. And, boy, she's up there. And I got him over there, and he's putting the sling shot out. And he comes over, and he said, prepare me, God. I don't care if you're Mutombo or Manute Bowl or whoever you are, Patrick, you and I'll knock your block off. See, you don't know Hebrew like I do. You can't get all these. It's education. That's what that is. And anyway, here he comes. Boy, she's laying out like you. And I'm running around, knocking her. And I got David, and he's running like a... And boy, the giant starts weaving around like this. And boy, he starts going down. And David goes up, takes his sword off, whacks his head off, holds it up like that, and they shout and win the victory. And boy, everybody has a big time. Whack is another Greek word or Hebrew term that translated means he severed his head from his body and took it off of there. I tell you, glory to God. Boy, she's laying there. Let me tell you what this book is. It's a delightful book. This is a good book because the good guys win in this one. Amen? That's right. You know, one time I got up in church and I preached one of them stories like I told her. And somebody came up and said, well, I'll be a preacher. That's the best sermon I ever heard in my life. And I said, well, I'm just going to start telling Bible stories then. That's on most people's level about right there what I was doing. Didn't you get a lot out of that a minute ago? Yeah. Amen. I'll tell you what, it is a delightful book. I love the story. The layman delight in the stewardship and the wage stories. The youth loves the story of the prodigal son. And the scholar studies Daniel in the book of Revelation. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing book? Why eat the devil's garbage when you can have some of God's chocolate cake here? Why feed on the devil's slop trough when you can have a steak from the precious King James Bible? Brother, that's the greatest book on earth. Why do you want to feed your head with 2 or 3 hours of TV slop when you could be getting in there and digging and digging and getting your soul fed from the greatest book on earth? It's a delightful book. Well, let me tell you this. Number 4, it's a designed book. This thing's been designed. There's no accident the way this book's put together. Oh, how it's put together. Search the scriptures, Jesus said, for they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God shall man live. Listen, in its numerology, in its types, in its prophecies, in its dispensations, in its patterns, in its instructions, in its revelation, in its inspiration. It could have never happened by accident. No way, no way. John Wesley said one time, they asked him who he believed wrote the Bible. He said, well, it had to be either good men or bad men or the Lord. That's the only people could have wrote it. Good men, bad men, or God. He said good men would not have wrote the Bible. Because all the way through the Bible, it claims that God wrote it, and they'd have been lying, and therefore would not have been good men. He said bad men couldn't or wouldn't have wrote the Bible because it condemns them and everything they do and promises them hell in eternity. He said bad men couldn't have wrote it. Good men wouldn't have wrote it. And he said that only leaves one person to die. That's God. God wrote the Bible. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When you read this Bible, you are reading the very words of God Almighty that God wants you to have. This is a designed book. The numerology in the Bible is absolutely amazing. There is no way in this world it could have happened by accident. And I'm talking about that King James Bible laying in your lap tonight. No other book in this world is put together like that book is. All right, let's get your Bibles out. Let me show you something. Only your King James Bible has got what I'm getting ready to show you. Get this and get it good. Let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 tonight, we're going to tell you about this. You can do what you want to, but I'm just going to enjoy myself tonight and brag on the Word of God, the greatest book in the world. There's some subjects I don't really like preaching about, but this ain't one of them. I enjoy preaching about the greatest book and the book that has it all. Notice in Psalm 119, is everybody looking at it? I want you to help me with something here. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. It's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Notice with me tonight that Psalm 119 has 176 verses, and all of them have something in common. Now hold your finger there on Psalm 119 and look at Psalm 118. Mark your finger there on Psalm 118 and then look at Psalm 117. You see Psalm 117? Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. That's the shortest chapter in the Bible. The shortest chapter in the King James Bible is Psalm 117. The longest chapter in the King James Bible is Psalm 119. Now remember this. Remember this. When David wrote Psalms, when all the Old Testament writers wrote, they did not write it chronologically like we've got it in this Bible. They didn't have chapter and verse markings in it. And people say, boy, if we just had the original Greek, the original Hebrew and Greek doesn't have chapter and verse markings in it, people. Y'all listen to what I'm saying? I'm saying we got the greatest book that ever has been. This is the book. This is the book that has it all. There was no chapter and verse. You hear these guys on the radio all the time and say, the Greek word actually means Greek. What do you want that for, man? You've got the greatest book that's ever been written right here, English, in front of your very eyes. Look here. Look here. Psalm 117 is the shortest. Psalm 119 is the longest. And guess where the middle is? The right smack dab middle of a King James Bible is Psalm 118 verse 8. That's your middle verse in your King James Bible. That's not true of the Living Bible, the NIV, the RSV, the ASV, or any of the new modern versions. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. And the two middle words are the Lord. I've got a book here that the Lord's right in the center of it. I've got a book here that the Lord, that's not an accident, people. It's the shortest chapter on one side, the longest chapter on the other side, and right in the two middle words of your Bible is the Lord. People say, well, I believe these old fanatics carry this King James stuff too far. It's dividing church. You're out of your mind, brother. God never has blessed a book like He's blessed this book. There never has been a book that can even come close to how God's blessed this book. Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them, and that's the middle of the Word of God. You say that's coincidence. Listen, it was wrote different. Actually written, 2 Chronicles is your last book in the Old Testament, and they arranged it. The King James translators put its prophets, writings, and Psalms and Proverbs and the writings, and brother did it different, and it worked out just right. Psalm 119 is about the Bible. Let me show you something very strange about Psalm 119. Did you know that Psalm 119 has 176 verses of it, and every one of those verses says something about the Lord, and every one of them says something about man, and every one of them says something about the Scripture? Every one of them. Now I'm going to give you a chance to holler one out. Now I want you to holler out any verse in Psalm 119 that you want to holler out. Ready? Now don't take long, boys. Holler it out real loud and I'll read it, okay? Somebody go ahead now. Verse 9. Let's look at it. Verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord. See? There it is. There's the Lord. Than to put confidence in princes. And there's your people right there. And the Word of God. Oh, I'm sorry. Wherewithal? I was testing you. I test you. Some of you didn't laugh, so I know you ain't really along with me. Psalm 119. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? There's man, right? By taking heed thereto according to thy. There's God, Word. There's your Bible. Give me another one. Number 11. Thy Word. There's the Bible. Have I, there's man, hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. There's God. Somebody give me another one. 56. 56. This I have, there's man, because I kept thy, there's God, precepts, there's the Bible. Give me another. 33. Number 33. Teach me, O Lord, there's God, the way of thy statutes, there's the Bible, and I, there's man, shall keep it unto the end. Give me another one. Number 155. Number 155, salvation is far from the wicked. There's men. For they seek not thy. There's God. Statutes. There's the Bible. Give me another one. Number 113, I, there's man, hate vain thoughts. But thy law, there's God and His Word, do I love. Somebody give me another one. Number 145, I cried, there's man, with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, there's God, and I will keep thy statutes. What did you say, 126? 126. Look at here. It is time for thee, Lord, there's God, to work, for they, there's people, have made void thy law, the Bible. All right, give me another one. Louder. 105. Verse 105. Thy Word, there's the Bible. Lamp unto my feet, there's a man. And a light unto my path. Thy Word, there's God. The Word is God. Brother, it is a designed book. It's no accident that every one of those verses have God, man, and the Bible in the longest chapter in the Bible, right after the chapter of the middle of the Bible, which none of the writers of the Bible realized it was going to work that way when they wrote it. Look at how many books is in your Bible. Somebody tell me. 66 books in the Bible. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah. Now, if you ever run across a Catholic who tries to tell you that you've got missing books in your Bible, you can just laugh your head off. There is no such thing as lost books of the Bible. God ain't lost no books. If you ever run across a Catholic, they'll tell you, they'll say, well, your Bible misses seven books. We got seven books in ours that your Bible don't have. What they mean is the Maccabees and the Shepherd of Hermes and Baal and the Dragon and the Epistle of Barnabas and all that's called the Apocrypha. And that stuff stuck between the Testaments there and originally because it was not part of the Scripture. And you'll notice here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is a perfect picture of the Word of God. Isaiah has 66 chapters. There's the picture of the inspired canon. 66 chapters. You'll notice that the 66th chapter ends with a new heaven and the new earth. You see it? It talks about the new heaven and the new earth there in the last few verses of the book of Isaiah, showing you that picture is the book of Revelation, the 66th book. Now, turn to chapter 27. Isaiah 27. There is a noticeable mark. I'm sorry, 39. Chapter 39, there is a noticeable mark at the end of chapter number 39. Chapter number 39. Chapter number 39, there is a mark. That's what makes a lot of the scholars believe there was two different people wrote the book of Isaiah. A lot of Bible teachers teach there were what they call two Isaiahs or two guys that wrote Isaiah because it changes so drastically between chapter 39 and chapter 40. Now, we're Bible believers here tonight. We believe God made it change to show us that's a picture of the inspired canon. Isaiah didn't even know what chapter and verses were when he wrote it, but it's designed out with a break between chapter 39 and chapter 40. Now, if the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah represent the 66 chapters of the Bible, there should be a break between the 39th and 40th chapter, because there's a break between the 39th and 40th book in the Bible. 39th book in the Bible is what? Malachi. Last book in the Old Testament, the 40th book is Matthew. That starts the New Testament, perfectly shown here in the book of Isaiah. You know how you know that? First thing that happens in Matthew is John the Baptist comes preaching. Look at chapter 40 and verse number 3. Chapter 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the desert and the highway for our God. There's John the Baptist showing up in prophecy in Isaiah 40, because it's the 40th book in the Bible, the book of Matthew. 66 chapters represented. No other book in the world has what I just now showed you. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I tell you tonight, it's a designed book. Genesis chapter number 5. And let's look here and see what the Word of God says. Genesis chapter 5 is a picture of the rapture. Now, as again, Moses and them fellas didn't know nothing about the rapture. The Old Testament writers didn't know nothing about the rapture. Some of the New Testament writers didn't even understand. It just all fits together right. That makes me want to shout when I think about that, how great it's put together. Everybody here should know, if you go to a church that don't teach this, you go to a messed up church. Don't get mad at me, it's your fault. And listen, there is coming a rapture. There's coming a rapture one of these days of the church, and when all these Christians are going to zip right up through the ceiling. That could happen tonight. The trumpet could blow right now, and gravity would lose its pull on you, and our clothes would just fall off. We'd get our brand new body and meet the Lord in the air, and so would we ever be with the Lord. There's 7 years of tribulation after that. Genesis 5. Genesis 5, and look at verse 24. Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church. Bible says he's the seventh from Adam. Genesis 5 and verse number 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There's your rapture of the church. Somebody tell me what happened after this as a picture of the great tribulation hit. The flood. The flood happened after that to show the great tribulation drowning men out. Now let's look. You're in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. You got verse 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and then chapter 6, and then all of chapter 7. And then look at chapter 7 and verse number 12. Chapter 7 and verse 12, where the Bible said it. And the Bible said, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. There's a picture of the great tribulation. The rapture hit in Genesis 5 and verse number 24. And 42 verses later, the flood came. There's your tribulation. 3.5 years, man. Bam! And Moses didn't even write Genesis in verses. The book of Job is a picture of the tribulation. Job has 42 chapters in it. That's how many months there are in the great tribulation, people. Job was down on the ground 7 days. Without saying a word, a picture of the 7 years of the tribulation. Job's latter end was blessed more than his beginning. How that God blesses the land of Israel after it's all over with. I'm telling you tonight, it is a design book. This thing is put together in such a manner that would make a Swiss watch look like a clumsy piece of guesswork. It's the greatest book of all. It's the book that has everything. Thank God. Don't let them take it away from you. Don't let them make you doubt it. Don't let them scoff at it. They don't know what they're talking about. If you ever run into a teacher that says, oh, that Bible's full of contradictions, you hand it to them and say, show me one.
That'll shut them up right then. Let me say number five. It's a dependable book. Amen. Psalm 93:5 said, "Thy testimonies are very sure." Thank God for its promises. All the saints that have grabbed it in the hospital beds. All the times that people have been taken this book, where this boy was off in the war somewhere, and no doubt mama grabbed this book and got down in the floor and said, "Dear God, I don't know where my boy is, but oh God, I'm claiming your promise. Oh God, take care of him tonight." There's been a many of old saint of God in the wee hours of the morning when they didn't have no hope and nothing else could get that book out and say, "God, I'm depending on what your book said." It is a dependable book. Mothers with sick babies would get up in the middle of the night and find comfort in the Word of God. I heard about one time a soldier boy, he was going to the army, and his mama gave him a little New Testament. And she said, "Now son, take this, put it right there in your pocket." He carried it out there to battle. The bullets were flying all around him. Bam! He got struck. It scared him. He woke up and he realized that he wasn't dead. And boy, he got back and he realized that bullet had went right in that little New Testament. And that thing had went through that thing and went over into Psalm. And that bullet stopped right at Psalm 91 and verse 7. He pulled it out and said, "Man, that thing saved my life. That's the Word of God." And boy, that bullet stopped at Psalm 91:7 that said, "The 1,000 you'll fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." And brother, that mama put that book in there because you can depend on that book. You can depend on it. Young people, it'll take you through. Don't be ashamed to take it to school. Don't be ashamed to take it to work. You ought to be proud. It's the greatest book of all books. Thank God it is a dependable book. Amen. You listen, it's a dependable book. Did you know until the last generation, people thought the world was flat? Did you know that people thought the world was flat? Used to? They told old Columbus and them Magellan and them fellas, they said, "If you keep soaring along and sailing, you're going to fall off the edge." Everybody thought that except people had the Bible. And they read their Bible where it said it's the Lord that sits on the circle of the earth. And they had it in there that it was round all around. Somebody said, "Oh, the Bible's so outdated and archaic. It tells the Bible the world's flat." The Bible don't say the world's flat. The Bible said he stuck all the planets out there and he hung them on nothing. They used to think some big giant elephant or alligator was under it, holding it up. Because they couldn't understand it's hanging on nothing. The book said God hung it on nothing before there's ever a scientist born. You say, "Well, is the Bible scientific?" It's so far ahead of modern science it ain't even funny, man. I tell you, they never will get caught up. Them nutheads still think we come from monkeys. How many people never have turned into monkeys? They still don't turn into monkeys. Some of them make monkeys out of themselves, but they don't have tails. Not real long. And I'm telling you what, brother, that stuff's a lie. It's a lie. This is a dependable book. Amen. Bible said we have a more sure word of prophecy. Our children in our schools are robbed and cheated as we abandon the very book that could turn America around. Did you know the book says this? The book said 2,000 years ago that there wasn't no taste in egg whites. And they ain't. Not unless you salt them, put sugar in them. You say, "I can taste it." Not just by themselves, they ain't got no taste. One time he said, "Oh, I don't believe the Bible." And he said, "Buddy, I do. That Bible's true." He said, "You can't prove it." He said, "I'll prove it right now." He said, "You can't do it." He said, "I can prove you one verse is true right now in the Word of God." He said, "Okay, do it if you can prove it." He balled up his fist and goes like it, bam! Busted that guy in the nose and blood started running out. He said, "You crazy thing, what you trying to do?" He said, "You told me to prove the Bible's true." He said, "Well, what's that got to do with it?" He said, "The Bible says the ringing of the nose bringeth forth blood." Amen? Try that out on somebody. Hallelujah, brother. It's a dependable book. Amen? Amen. It's a dependable book. When it says something about, listen, it's got the answer to racial problems. It's got the answer to chaos in our cities. It's got the answer to women's lib. It's got the answer to the abortion issue that's divided our nation with capital punishment. It's got the answer, brother. It's a dependable book. Let me say sixth line. It is a directional book.
Psalm 119 and verse 105 said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to make some decisions? Here's your road map. The POWs in Korea kept their sanity, they said, by one book, this book right here. They'd have lost their minds if they hadn't had the Word of God. Some of them that could quote it would quote it to them other guys. And they'd say, quote me that scripture, quote me that scripture. Listen, brother, it is a directional book. You want to know what kind of person you should marry? Or court, or be involved with, I'll tell you where you get your instructions. You don't get it from Full House, or you don't get it from Beverly Hills 8, 7, 8, 16, 9, or you get it right out of the Word of God, brother. You get it out of the Word of God. You boys, I tell you what you do. You find you a girl that's pure, not one that flirts with every guy going down the street, and you find you one that loves God, and you find you one that loves the Bible, and she'll be all right. You get little Miss Floose and you'll be sorry. You girls, find you a boy that loves God. Hey, don't find you one that's struck on himself. One of these little pretty boys that wears more jewelry than you do. Tell him where to get off at, the little sissy. If a boy loves God, the last thing in the world he wants to be is a makeup wearing lipstick jewelry sissified little boy. Amen? You worry me, you know, if you don't say amen on something like that. Man, we do need something from God. But I tell you what, it's a directional book. Amen? You'll never go wrong getting it out of this book. I've not got time to get in all of that. It's a marriage manual. It's a home manual. It's a church manual. Somebody said one time, I believe the same thing he did. They asked old Lester Roloff one time, they said, I want to see a constitution. He said, King James Version. It's our constitution and bylaws right here. What does your church believe? This. You say, but what do you believe? Whatever this says. You say, don't you make a bunch more rules? There's plenty enough in here to keep us busy 24 hours a day. Amen, brother. It's a directional book. Listen, I believe this book. Listen, I'm convinced. That book said it's a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. You know, when you drive, if you got your driver's license, you just drive down the road like this, and you put on your lights on low beam. That shows right down in front of you. It shows you right where you're at right now. Then you get out on the open road, hit that switch. And when you hit that switch, that thing or on you. Thingamajig up here, you flip it there, and it's got your high beam. You can see way out in front of you. That's no accident. That's what the book said. The book said it's a lamp under my feet. It'll show you the very next step you're supposed to make tomorrow and the next day. It's a light under my path. It'll show you way on out there what God wants you to do. It'll show you every step I take, every step. That book will give you the direction. Listen, when we started this church, I got this book down. This book. I didn't get Woman's Day or National Parade or Sports Illustrated. I got that book down and I prayed and I cried and I waited. And I said, God, I believe you want us to do it. And here it sits here tonight. The camp the same way. The school the same way. Every bit of it is built on a desire to do what that book said. I tell you what, brother, you can't never go wrong building on what the old book said. It's a foundation that's sure. It's a directional book. You'll never go wrong living by what it says. I don't care what society says. I don't care what Hollywood does. You'll never go wrong living by this book right here. Teenagers, live your life by this book. Hey, boys, get in that book. You know what some of you teenagers need to do? You need to get rid of your Hollywood air. And mamas and daddies too. Yeah. And just be a Christian, man, like the book says. You don't have to act like Madonna or look like her. You're not going to be a blessing singing to somebody if they can write their initials on your face with their finger. Amen? You boys will never be a testimony for God, you know, if you're one of these guys, little boys. Shoot. Oh, read your book. We're not talking about a book that men made. We're talking about a book that makes men. Number 7, it's a decisive book. It leaves no middle ground. You got to get on or get off. You know what people hate about the Bible? Because, man, it just I mean, brother, it just hits the axe right smack in the middle of the forehead. It's either right or wrong. It don't cut you no slack. We'll all say with the great preacher of old, my conscience is bound by the Word of God. Make your decisions on what that book said. Something comes up, well, what does the Bible say? It's a directional book, man. It's a decisive book. No other book changes the lives of people like this book. It has absolute wrong and absolute right. See, that's where our public school system messed up. That's where our government has messed up. What they're saying now is that truth is relative and right and wrong is relative. So that's what's called situation ethics. That means in the situation you're in determines whether it's right or wrong. Now, we believe the Bible, we believe wrong's wrong no matter what situation you're in. And right's right no matter who likes it or how popular it is or who it hurts. Amen? We believe in teaching young people that abstinence is the answer for the not spread AIDS. Amen? Stay out of bed and keep your clothes on, kids, and you won't get a disease that kills you. That's what the Bible teaches. God has fixed it so that if you take your clothes off and mess around with somebody when you're not married, God's fixed it so that your body reacts wrong and you get a disease. Did you hear me? I don't care how smart you think you are. This condom junk, I hate to be so plain, brother, but I'm not saying nothing. It's a bunch of trash. It's a bunch of ungodly trash. We ought to have about 70 men in here wave their hand and say, amen, glory to God. Preach it, preacher. I'm so sick of this. People up there in high places, surgeon generals and people like that, saying, well, kids are going to do these things anyway. And you know what they're not telling you? Is that the disease of AIDS can go through a condom easy as you can put a marble through a basketball goal. You're not safe if you're doing wrong. You're not safe. The book said, be sure your sin will find you out. It's a decisive book. You're either in or out, man. You're on your way to heaven or hell. There's no middle ground. You're right with God or wrong with God tonight, what you're saying. It's a decisive book. Then let me say number 8. It's a desirable book. Psalm 19:10, it said, more to be desired than gold. Food, bread, meat feeds the soul. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Thousands of people flock to hear this book every week. Did you know weekly, year round, listen to what I'm saying. Did you know if you looked all over McDowell County tonight, year round, that there's more people gather year round in this room right here than any other gathering in McDowell County. Year round. They have some basketball games and stuff like that where they have a couple thousand people and 4,000 or 5,000 sometime on a big night. But year round, this room right here. You know why? That's a desirable book. There's just something about that book. You like it, don't you? Man, even if it cuts you, you like it. Whew. What a book, man! What a book! It's the greatest book of all books. It's the greatest. 94% of the Constitution of the United States comes almost directly right out of the Word of God, King James Bible. Where a society has right, tax-exempt status for churches, all that come out of the Old Testament, most of it, and the laws in the Word of God. Our nation was built on people who believe this book right here. Care what they tell you, brother. I got some videos I'm going to bring up here in the next few weeks and prove to you and get the quotes where our nation was founded by people who wanted to be a Christian and advance the Christian faith. It's a desirable book. Ain't no book like this book. You know what I learned out in Montana the other day? Oh, I thought I'd wait to preach this, but man, it just keeps coming on my mind. I'm just going to say it now and preach it later. We talk about tithe. You know what? Somebody tell me what the word tithe means. Anybody know? Tenth. We're supposed to give our tenth. If you make $100, you give $10. And then you give another. A tenth. We're God's sheep. All God's sheep are supposed to give a tenth. And this morning, coming up to church, Carissa asked me, she said, "Daddy, what's 10% of $8? And I said, 80 cents. Just mark off your last zero. You know, and you got 80 cents there." And she said, "Okay." And she wanted to know, you know why? Because we're God's sheep. We're the flock, sheep of His pasture. Oh, guess what I learned this week? I about shouted when I heard this. See, there's all kinds of critters and animals out there. We was driving around thousands of sheep, you know, hundreds, look like sheep, elk, antelope, muley, deer, I mean, running everywhere, man. And the preacher looked at me and he said, "Man, those sheep are nasty. You can see them in the snow. Snow is real white. They're kind of dingy looking." He said, "They need shearing." And he said, "Oh, guess what, preacher?" He said, "You know how much wool they get off them things?" And I said, "What?" He said, "If a sheep weighs 170 pounds, you get 17 pounds of wool off of it." He said, "If a sheep weighs 150 pounds, you get 15 pounds of wool off of that sheep." He said, "If a sheep weighs 100, now I'm going to shout in here in a second. He said, "If a sheep weighs 100 pounds, you get 10. He said, farmers know that. Even farmers that ain't saved. They put them on a scale. He said, "A sheep produces its 10%. I said, "Glory to God." Woo! I said, "Hallelujah. I can't wait to preach that. Amen." I said, "Listen, if you're one of God's sheep, boy, if you're one of God's sheep, them sheep produce that tenth, brother." People say, "Well, how do we know what the tithe is?" Raise sheep, you'll find out. God, it's no accident. God didn't say we was bears. God didn't say we was antelopes. He said we're sheep of His pasture. And brother, those sheep produce that tenth. Where's that come from? The book that has it all. The book that you're uneducated if you don't know. The book that, brother, you don't know where you come from, where you're going if you don't have. It's a desirable book. You hear politicians quoting now saying, they'll beat their swords and weapons into plowshares. Ask the student at McDowell High tomorrow what that means. See what they say.
They don't know.
Number 9. It's a divisive book. It divides. Causes great division. You can put Shakespeare on the wall of a public school and nobody will mess with it. You know how come I know the modern versions of the Bible are not of God? Because they don't mess with nothing else. Why hasn't Shakespeare been revised and updated so people can understand it? Well, Romeo, Romeo, where art thou? How come they don't make it in the modern day schools? And say, "Romeo, where is you?" I should say that. I was doing pretty good there. Hey, let's make it and put it so people understand it, amen? Yeah, that's the book they want to mess with. These hypocrites get on the radio all the time. You hear them on the radio all the time saying, "Now the New International Version, and this version said this, and the Greek said this, and the New Version say this, and the New Version say that, and the New Version say this, and the New Version say that." And it's so much easier to understand because it takes out the these and the thous and the arts and all that. And then the choir gets up and says, "How great thou art." Why don't they sing, "How great you are, how great you are"? You know why? Because there's something in them that just can't leave this book alone. They want to mess with it, mess with it, mess with it. The King James Bible has Acts 8:37 in it where a man gets saved, and the NIV don't. The NIV said in 2 Samuel 21:19 that Elhanan killed the giant Goliath. You say, "Well, I know a great preacher," and he, well, great preachers don't always know what they're talking about. I don't want a Bible that said Elhanan killed a giant. You say, "It's easy to understand." No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Isn't here, it keep you busy if you just know by what part you understand. One time there's a man said this, he's standing there on the street corner and there's a hat laying there. He said, "It's alive, it's alive, it's alive." And a bunch of people gathered around him. And they said, "What? What?" And he picked it up and there's his Bible and he said, "The Word of God." Man, that's a blessing, buddy. It's a book. It's some book. It's some book. Number 10, this is last. My soul. It's a divine book. Holy Bible, book divine. Precious treasure, thou art mine. As a mountain above sand dune on the side of a beach, as a sun beside a candle. The Bible stands above all other books. It's not outmoded, it's outstanding. It's not obsolete, it's absolute. It's not discredited, it's been disregarded. It outshines, outlasts, outranks, outlives, outweighs, outwears, and still outsells all other books. It's the most feared. It's the most revered. It's the most loved. It's the most hated. It's the book that people got to have on their deathbed. See that? When I fly on a plane, man, all my luggage goes in the suitcase and goes who knows where. And this stays right here with me. This is God's book. This is a book that got me through the hard times of my life. Hey, I've been seeing people laying on their bed dying. And when somebody's laying on their deathbed dying, they don't ask for a Playboy. They don't say, "Bring me a Hustler so I can look at it." Never, 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 never. I say, "Somebody get that book. Tell me what's going to happen to me, preacher. Am I going to hell and burn? Am I going to heaven?" Listen, that book there is the book people ask for. They said Sir Walter Scott on his deathbed was dying one time there as he died. And they said at his dying breath, he told his servant, he said, "Go get me the book." And his servant said, "Which book, sir? There are thousands of them." He said, "There's only one book, you fool. Get me the book." He's talking about that book right there. You better guard it. You better love it. You better teach it to your kids. You better encourage them to read it. You say, "Well, I want my..." We're talking about this school issue. Let me tell you something, buddy. A Christian school teaches kids the Word of God. And If your kid graduates with a PhD and dies and goes to hell, you're a failure as a parent. You're a failure. Amen? That's the book they need. That's the book. It's the book. It's the book right here. It's the book that has it all. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand there, bow our heads for prayer, and we'll sing. Brother John, come get us a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, help us to hide words in our heart that we might not sin against Thee. I pray these young men here tonight will take heed. You said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Lord, some of these young men need their heart washed and their brain cleaned. Help them to get in the Word of God and get it washed. Some of these young ladies need help tonight. Get the sin out of them. We know this book's the only one that can do it. Some of these mamas and daddies need to make a new, fresh commitment. Leave the TV off or lay the novel down, the sports magazine, and get back in the Word of God. Help us to be a church of Bible readers and Bible studiers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.